Australia's Prime Minister made a gesture of conciliation to the Chinese government last night with a speech emphasising mutual respect and understanding to an audience which included a large delegation of Chinese diplomats. The relationship with Beijing has become strained in recent months by a series of issues, including China's activity in the South China Sea and the Australian government's foreign interference legislation. Malcolm Turnbull's speech comes days after Beijing signalled it was up to the Australian leaders to take steps to repair the relationship. So, will this speech do that? Professor James Lawrenson is the Deputy Director of the Australia-China Relations Institute at the University of Technology, Sydney. James Lawrenson, you're among a number of China specialists calling for a reset in the Australia-China relationship. Did the Prime Minister's speech last night hit that reset button?
It put us on the right path. Let's not forget that we got to this state in the Australia-China relationship over an 18-month period where there's been some pretty loose rhetoric used by the federal government towards China. So you're not going to turn things around overnight. But that said, what the PM said yesterday, that's the way we've traditionally engaged with China, all the way from Whitlam to Abbott, and we diverged from that about 18 months ago. So it was more like Malcolm Turnbull was getting back to our normal approach to engaging with China, and I think that's a positive.
So you're saying it's a start. If you were advising the Prime Minister, would you have advised him to go further?
I would advise him to be consistent. And I think that's my guess. That's what Chinese diplomats will be looking for in the coming months. You know, as I said, we had some language from the beginning of 2017. Julie Bishop, for example, said that China couldn't achieve its economic potential unless it became a democracy like us. That's pretty gratuitous. And then, of course, Malcolm Turnbull, when he was introducing the foreign interference laws in December last year, he quoted Mao Zedong and specifically singled out media reports about Chinese influence. So I think the Chinese government will just be looking for a bit of consistency on the Australian government's part.
You've mentioned some of those tensions, and Australia's Foreign Minister Julie Bishop hasn't visited China in 2 years. How bad has the relationship become?
Well, I think that says everything, doesn't it? When you haven't had a visit from the Foreign Minister in 2 years and the Prime Minister in the same amount of time, Australia and China, of course, are meant to engage, have annual leaders' dialogues with our foreign ministers and with our heads of state as well. That obviously hasn't happened this year. On top of that, you've had our big trade and investment roadshow, the Australia Week on China, that's been cancelled this year. So the relationship hasn't been in a good way, and we need to get it back on track.
We're always being told that the Chinese leaders respect strength. Isn't there equally an argument that Australia's Prime Minister should not bend over to appease the Chinese, especially given Chinese assertiveness in the South China Sea?
Oh, look, absolutely. When it comes to the South China Sea, let's also be very clear that I think Julie Bishop's stance on that has been superb. Australia has a clear national interest in international law being upheld. So when China doesn't uphold international law, there is nothing inconsistent with a good relationship with China, with Australia calling that out. The problem is in the context of doing that, we've had all this other stuff, all this gratuitous rhetoric that hasn't helped. Let's be clear. I have never had a Chinese diplomat tell me they were angry about Australia's foreign interference laws. They understand very well that Australia is a sovereign country. We can introduce any laws we like. What they didn't appreciate was being singled out.
This speech from the PM was clearly intended to send a message to the Chinese government. The ambassador was there in the audience. To what extent was it also a message, do you think, to the US President Donald Trump?
On trade, it was a clear message. In the speech, Turnbull made it very clear that on trade and our attitudes towards protectionism, tariffs, open economies, we are actually aligned with China on this, not aligned with the US. So, yeah, I think there was some signalling towards the US as well. If the US continues to go down this path of protectionism, if it continues to withdraw from international forums such as the World Trade Organization, that's against Australia's interests. So our security alliance partner is going to have to understand we're not going to follow the US on those issues, and in fact, we'll be lining up with China.
Your institute gets funding from Chinese business leaders. To what extent does that compromise your ability to criticise China?
Yeah, glad you asked. We've got an annual report on our website, so all of our operating costs are actually funded by the University of Technology, Sydney. Only about 30% of our funding comes from a mix of 20 different companies. They're Australian and Chinese corporates. So this is a good example of where some of the commentary has actually run ahead of the facts. You'll find plenty of other think tanks in Australia that attract a whole lot more funding, foreign funding, than the Australian-China Relations Institute does.
James Lawrenson, thanks very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
That's Professor James Lawrenson, the Deputy Director of the Australia-China Relations Institute at the University of Technology, Sydney.